in the studio, a late night in Lansing. How are you, my friend?
A little tired, but I am here.
All right. State lawmakers have approved a bill to reform paid sick time laws. You did that at 10:40 last night ahead of the midnight deadline. Tell us what all that means.
I don't know if we've got enough time for that.
I got 10 minutes. Go ahead.
10 minutes. So this was something that was kind of forced on the legislature because of a ballot proposal back in 2018. What was known as adopt and amend back then. This past summer, the Supreme Court ruled that legislature is not allowed to adopt and amend, but this puts in very strict, or what was going to be very strict, policies on how, as an employer, operates their business, of how much paid sick time, how people earn their sick time. There was a provision at one point in there that they had 3 days of no call, no show. So if you just went, just didn't show up to work for 3 days, you didn't have to call your employer and tell them. And this was all in this ballot proposal and was all set to take effect today at midnight. And in pure Lansing fashion, we decided, I was surprised he said 10:40. I thought it was a little bit later than
okay.
that.
Okay, yeah, it might have been.
I know I got home at around 1:30 last night. So, it's not great that, from my perspective as a conservative, of how we believe, or how the state is coming in and saying, this is how you have to operate your business. I don't think that's really the position we should be put in. I think employers, employees can work on that, negotiate, whether you belong to a union and they negotiate, whether you do it yourself when you are applying for the job, or as you progress through the job. Usually there are good HR departments that put in place what the company policy is. This is an overhanded way of the legislature saying, you need to operate your business in this way. And we had to pass something to change what was going to be put in effect today.
Okay.
Because it was far more strict, far more obtrusive of what was going to be put in place. So we worked with Democrats, kind of stepped up and tried to make this a little bit better for the business community. We'll find out as time goes on, but was something that was needed because what was going to be put in place was really, really bad.
It says small businesses will not be required to offer at least 40 hours of paid sick leave until October 1st.
Yeah, there's a little bit of runway for small businesses. Okay. In fact, I was prepared to offer an amendment to give a grace period of 30 days, but because of some technical issues within the bill, we didn't end up offering that amendment. But just a little glide path, a little runway before they have to put some of these provisions in place.
Okay. Now, that bill joined Senate Bill 8 to preserve the tipped wage for servers and bartenders.
Yeah. Again, this was part of that ballot proposal that would basically eliminate the tipped wage and just put everyone at even with what the minimum wage is. And frankly, people that work in that industry make a lot more than the minimum wage. And businesses need that to have that type of staff for them to be successful. Again, it was just this... It was really an outside group from California that came in.
Yeah, that's what's so odd about it.
They came in because of our ballot proposal process.
Uh-huh.
They target Michigan.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And get the signatures to put these things on the ballots.
Yeah.
And then we're left with the scraps in trying to figure this out. It doesn't work for West Michigan. It doesn't work for Michigan. But these groups have some ideology that they have and can target Michigan because of our ballot proposal process.
Yeah, I don't know anybody, Republican or Democrat, that supported that. I don't. I don't know anyone that supported the...
Well, there's some on the record now that certainly
voted
that way to try and keep that process in place.
All right, I want to move on to some dredging that probably will be delayed. Mayor Bob Manetza, the city of Grand Haven, told us that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, they've got this requirement now from EGLE, the Department of Environment, Great Lakes, and Energy, to sample the dredge in the river bottom for PFAS, and that's going to delay things. Why are they doing that? I mean, I understand why they're doing it, but it's going to delay things.
Yeah.
Big time.
I'm not doing it.
No, I know.
In fact, we were made aware of this last fall and have been working or trying to work with Deagle on this issue. We've had great success over the years here in Grand Haven, making sure that it remains dredged. This is a new provision, tested provision that Deagle kind of just made up by themselves. There's no law requirement to require this. They kind of made it up, and now Grand Haven is kind of at the forefront of what could be pretty devastating to the local harbors throughout the state.
If this is
something that is going to be required, let alone it's Deagle that's doing it and then requiring Army Corps of Engineers to do it, which they have their own processes as well.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very much in the weeds, but Deagle is kind of putting this out there, never done before, and is really could potentially cause a lot of economic harm to the Grand Haven area.
Because
even when you're talking about PFAS in soil, we talk about PFAS in water and are still analyzing what that health impact is, let alone now talking about PFAS in soil and the potential that you use that soil to, I don't know, grow tomatoes or something like that. What does that mean? There are no studies out there that show what this does, but the fact that they are now requiring the testing could have significant economic harm to the area.
Yeah, I mean, the river is starting to shallow up a bit as it is, and Mayor Manetza said the freighters are going to come in with lesser loads if this doesn't get done, so I'll stay on top of this.
Yeah, I'm staying on top of this as well
in
conversations with Deagle and Army Corps.
All right. I did meet with, there was a Rep Hillary Skolton and who else was there? Another rep was there. Haley Stevens was there as well at Catherine's Health Center to talk about proposed Medicaid funding. And, you know, it was interesting to put a face on Medicaid. I just want to throw this out there. I'm someone that was on Medicaid at one point in my life, Greg. You know, I was in between jobs. And I was on Medicaid. I ended up having to have surgery to have some cancer removed. And it actually saved my life. And that's what it's there for. Medicaid provides critical health coverage to over 2.3 million Michiganders. That's nearly a quarter of the state's population. That includes nearly 40% of all children. I mean, we don't know what the state work requirements might be if there are Medicaid cuts. Can you chime in?
I can chime in.
I got 2 minutes.
In fact, we were just received our committee assignments a couple weeks ago. And I will be the chair, the House chair on Medicaid and behavioral health. So I'm very familiar with Medicaid and the programs that it provides. Obviously, with everything that's going on with the federal government, I just want to make sure people are know what is real and what is not real.
Okay.
I mean, we can talk about there's a lot of scaring that's going on, and there's a lot of what is actually truly happening. There's a lot of guessing what might happen. So I don't want to go into that. I want to go into here is the budget, here's what we have, here's what the state can provide, here is where we are reliant on the federal government for this money, here is where the state actually does plus ups in the providing that they do. So we're going to keep certainly an eye on what the feds are looking to do with Medicaid. And then how it's going to impact here families in Michigan.
Good, because the face of Medicaid has certainly changed, and I just think that a lot of people just don't realize that. And if you can, you know, maybe put that out there and people understand that, you know, a lot of people on Medicaid actually work full-time. They just, you know, what they make, they qualify for it, and that's just the way that it goes. Thanks for being here. We covered a lot today.
In short order. At least I think I was talking fast.
And the sun is out, and the sky is blue. And did you hear about this? Gary Sinise and his Lieutenant Dan band will be here for the Grand Haven Coast Guard Festival this year. How awesome is that? It's going to be great.
Always a good show.
Always a good show is right. Thanks for being here, and we'll talk next month.